Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, there's a revival taking place, but it's not the revival that necessarily that we've been praying for. There's a revival of eugenics that seems to be taking place. Genetic testing has been going on for years, but now it's going mainstream in the medical setting with easy-to-use kits for collecting DNA from your saliva for only a few $100. A DNA testing company can tell you more about your family or what diseases you are likely to contact later in life, this technology is being used to test sperm and eggs for defects so that you can avoid them, which is really leading to pure eugenics. For the Christian, I would say, you know, this technology is not, it's not evil. We don't believe that technology in and of itself is evil. It's evil in how it is being used. That's what we need to look at. And there's a lot of implications here for this new technology. There's some potential consequences, like will a technology like this that enables us to look at DNA at this level, will it impact health insurance? You know, if your health insurance agency could have access to this type of information, would you then be denied because of the possibility of the likelihood of you contracting something like this in the future? Or what about employment? What about if your employer knew about that you had a propensity towards a certain type of disease or something later on? Would they be able to use this type of DNA information in order to, you know, not to give you a job or something along that line? Well, this is something that we really need to consider. And let me read to you just a little bit of an article that was listed out on a technology site. MIT Technology Review says this: Apple has plans for your DNA. The iPhone could become the new tool in genetic studies. Over all the rumors ever to swirl around the world's most valuable company, this may be the first that could involve spitting in a plastic cup. Apple was in collaborating with U.S. researchers to help launch apps that would offer some iPhone owners a chance to get their DNA tested, many of them for the first time, according to people familiar with their plans. The apps are based on ResearchKit, a software platform Apple introduced in March that helps hospitals and scientists run medical studies on iPhones by collecting data from the device's sensors or through surveys. It goes on later on in the article to say this: nudging iPhone owners to submit DNA samples to researchers could thrust Apple devices into the center of a widening battle for genetic information. Well, I think that's certainly true, and especially it could be controversial if it's leading towards anything related towards eugenics. And so on the program today, we wanted to talk about this issue, and who better to talk about that with than Dr. Joe Francis, who's the chairperson and professor of biological sciences at the Master's College. Dr. Francis, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Yes, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Francis, there's a number of articles that are out that talk about issues related to this subject. Why don't you start by giving us a little bit of just an introduction to what I've already said, but expanding upon that a little bit as to why this is, why we should keep a really close eye on what's taking place here at breakneck speed. You know, it seems to be a revival of this going on.
Yes, and it goes back to our bioethics topics we've been talking about, and it's important that the believer know what's going on around us. And we mentioned in previous programs that we are, in a sense, a conscience of our nation, because we understand that there's something called the sanctity of life. And so that's the most important place to start, is this biblical view of the sanctity of life. But let me give you a whirlwind tour of DNA and DNA sequencing And we'll go back to 1953, and we'll do this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But the structure of DNA was determined in 1953. It was discovered to be a huge breakthrough. It's a hallmark in the history of biology and molecular biology. And so the structure was determined, and then it took several decades to figure out that how DNA worked as a hereditary material. But one of the things that we found is that there's a sequence, there's a language, there's a code in the DNA. And as a creationist, it's quite a beautiful thing because we know that God created using language.
Amen.
He even refers to himself as the Word, and we find language embedded in his creation. It makes sense. The secularists, though, who made this discovery, thought that they had discovered something that would even banish religious thinking about or Christian thinking about this, and that we are just physical beings made of this sequence, and this DNA sequence would be tell us how life worked, and we'd be even able to create life knowing this sequence. And so, again, the DNA has this code, and has actually, we call them letters, and there are 3 billion of them. And our genes are part of this. So our genes are part of this letter system in the DNA, and genes code for proteins, and proteins are the workhorse molecules of life. And so when they discovered this, they thought, wow, this is amazing. We've discovered this secret to life. It turns out, though, that it's nothing more than a sequence unless it's part of a living cell. And what we've discovered since then is DNA is basically meaningless unless it's part of a cell. And then we're finding more codes. We're finding codes within codes within codes. It is complex. But here's what happened. Because we found this sequence, the idea was, well, how do we figure out what this code says? How do we get the sequence? How do we get the actual sequence? And so it took another 50 years around the year 2000 before we could actually decode the code and actually get every letter in its position. There are 3 billion letters in the human DNA, and it cost us about $1 billion in the year 2000. So what we can do is if we have that sequence, we can say, oh, this person has this gene right here. Oh, and look, this gene is a little bit defective. This might mean that this person might have diabetes when they're older. And so now we can make predictions about health. Well, there wasn't much concern right away because it cost $1 billion to get one DNA sequence. But now, with technology, the price is coming down. And for tens of thousands of dollars, you can have your DNA sequenced. You can know where every gene is. You can know what health risks you might have. But now, even more so, that for a couple $100, they can just sequence the letters of your actual genes. It turns out in the DNA that only a small percentage of those letters code for proteins. So these companies have figured out how they can just actually take some saliva, as you mentioned, isolate the DNA, and within a day, they can find out what you might be at risk for because they're only looking at a few genes. And so the cost is coming down, and I think we'll be seeing total DNA sequencing for any person in the near future, possibly for a few $100. But right now, they're just testing certain genes. The concern then, though, is what do we do with this information? Again, as people who believe in the sanctity of life, we believe life is sacred. We believe also that the Lord has given us dominion over this world, and we want to be in charge of that and of our own lives under God. But now I have this DNA sequence, and someone might want to look at it, an employer. What do we do? And even more of concern is that it is being used to test for reproduction. So you can go now and have a sperm egg tested for genetic defects. And now we're kind of getting into this realm of eugenics. Eugenics literally means good birth, and it was a movement in the last century that really went bad. It started out as a good idea. Who's against good birth? But the problem is we tried to control it so much that we said, well, we want to eliminate bad genes, and we ended up eliminating people. We ended up killing people.
Hmm.
And And so the question is, how far down this road should we go? As you mentioned, the technology is not evil in itself. It's how we use it. So how do we use DNA sequencing in a pro-life way? That's our topic, and that's what we need to look at.
Very good introduction there and laying out for us how this all came about. Let me just read. I happen to have open here. I just looked it up on the dictionary. But listen to this definition of eugenics in here. It's quite chilling, actually. It says, the study or the belief in the possibility of improving the qualities of the human species or a human population, especially by such means as discouraging reproduction by persons having genetic defects or presumed to have inherited undesirable traits, and then it puts in parentheses, that's negative eugenics, or encouraging reproduction by persons presumed to have inheritable desirable traits, positive eugenics, in quotes or in brackets. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like maybe an Aryan race would have certain positive qualities that they inheritable desirable traits, and then other people may be deemed like maybe Jewish people to have negative desirable traits. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like what happened under Hitler?
Yes, it's we have to admit that eugenics is with us today. There are books out about how you select a certain kind of child, and it's subtle, and but it is happening. Mm. One of the companies that will take your saliva and test it formed another company called Gene Peaks, and this Gene Peaks company, the whole idea there was to peek at the DNA in the sperm and the egg before conception, and you say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is the history that has proven that eugenics ended up in eliminating people and segregating people. It ended up in racism, and it ended up in murder. And so history shows us we need to be cautious here. When that Gene Peaks company came out, the FDA and others came down on the parent company. It's interesting. It was about 5-6 years ago. And then in Science Magazine, the leading secular science publication in the U.S. said, this looks like eugenics. We need to be cautious. But as we've said in previous programs, in about every 12, whenever we come up with something that we're uncomfortable with in our society, it takes about 12 to 18 months, and we tend to say, oh, well, that's not so bad. And so I think that's where we're at, where we have DNA testing, and it largely seems to be unregulated. You even have a company in London selling skin care products who will test your DNA. They've hired biologists to test your DNA so that they can try to get the right skin product for you. What those unsuspecting customers may not know is now they have information on your DNA sequence. That's disturbing. So, but going back to the eugenics idea, it is being suggested to use to select certain types of children, and we all want healthy children. But the Bible also said God chooses, and He also says choose life, as we said before, so you and your descendants shall live. So we need to be very careful, I think, about any pre-born kind of manipulation, prenatal or preconception manipulation. Number one, because the history has shown that it has led to abuse and killing, and because we need to observe the biblical directives to choose life here. And what we're doing is saying we're eliminating this pathway for life.
So let me just clarify. Are you saying that you would be against any sort of genetic tampering, even if it was to try to alleviate, you know, what they feel is going to be a disease later on, some sort of cancerous cells or something? Would you be for or against any sort of tampering in that sense? Obviously, if it gets to the place of where you're taking the destroying the life, that's wrong. But would any tampering be wrong as well?
That's an excellent question, and this is where we need the biblical work and in-depth Christian work on this. I would say if an adult or a child or you know, a person after birth goes to the doctor and has DNA testing, and that doctor says, you know, we have some concerns and we're going to do some medical treatment. This happened to Angelina Jolie, mm-hmm. where she had a double mastectomy because she was tested positive for a breast cancer that is just, it's like almost like 100% prediction that you'll get it. I have nothing. I think that's again, under the rubric we just talked about, that's pro-life. We're trying to preserve life. And I think it can be used that way. My concern in that method, though, is who has your information and how can that be used against you? So there's a double-edged sword there. We want to be pro-life, but we want to observe the sanctity of life at all levels. On the other hand, the pre-conception testing, I am concerned about, because that's selection, and that's very much like eugenics. And, you know, how far do we go? Right now, you can select the gender of your child and those sorts of things. And again, we're talking about having a baby, and that's pro-life. But are we selecting against? And it's an interesting topic, because as Protestants, you know, we believe in family planning and that sort of thing. But here's my concern. The history shows that when we started down this road, it led to something very horrible. And so I think we need to be cautious. What I'm saying is pre-born, prenatal, preconception, we need to be very, very cautious about what that next step would be. And are we following the biblical directive to choose life so our descendants will live? Or are we choosing against life so our descendants will not live? It is a little bit gray, I admit, in that area, but history says we should be cautious.
And all the we should make sure that people are aware of the fact that when you talk about genetic testing and the information that you receive back, it's not always good news, right? I mean,
right.
It's sometimes it brings families together, like that one article that you just referred to. I think it was in the Peaks article, Gene Peaks, that you were talking about. But it said, you know, that sometimes brings family together and sometimes it tears them apart. Sometimes information is revealed that people didn't think about, you know, as to maybe they had other siblings elsewhere, or there's different ways that unfavorable information can be revealed as well, right?
Yes. There's articles out there where families have actually been torn apart, even marriages torn apart, where on the good part of it, brothers and sisters have found themselves. There's been illegitimate children. We don't want that. We want the truth to come out, but I think it's shocking when it happens in that way. And so again, how should we be prepared? How should the Christian be prepared to think about that information? And again, it can be in a database. Then it's your medical information in a database. My concern is about a future political party that could say, we have rights to your information, and can use it, again, in a eugenics way. They might say, we don't think you should have a family. We've actually had laws on the books in some of our states about curbing family size, and that's because some families have kind of abused the right. They have children, and they get money for those children. That's an interesting conversation there too. As many of us who are aligned with conservative politics, we would say, yeah, we don't want people to just have no thinking about their family at all, just having children to get public money. And so we have laws on the books in some states that say you should not have children. And that's interesting. That in the wrong hands, that could be used. And then with eugenics information, that could be even changed to say, okay, we don't want you to have children unless you have this kind of children. We're really not that far away. Those kinds of things are being discussed and in our law books. And as Christians, we need a voice. We need to stand up and say, there's a sanctity of life issue here that overrides everything, and how do we address this? And so it is fascinating. could you have your DNA sequence on your phone? Could your employer, your future employer, ask for that? If they see, oh, look, your family DNA history is diabetes at 50 years old, we don't want you to take this job. I'm sure they wouldn't even tell you that. They would just not accept you as a candidate for employment. Those things are of concern. And I guess my concern is having that information in the wrong hands. In the last century, we would call the people who were involved in the atrocities social engineers. Mm-hmm. There are social engineers out there today. We had a politician. She's running for office now, and she said it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. How far do we go? How does it take a village to determine who's born? You know, that's going on. Also, those decisions and those kinds of thinkings are all, so we have alignment with what happened in eugenics a century ago, and I think Christians need to think through that. Have the technology. Yes, we can use it for good, but what are the limits? Mm. What are the how far do we go, and how do we preserve most of all preserve the sanctity of life?
That same candidate that you were just referring to also looked upon Margaret Sanger, who, of course, was very much interested in eugenics and had very disturbing views about the unborn and so forth, and the ability to alter entire races of people, you know, through Planned Parenthood type services. She looked upon Margaret Sanger as a hero. So this is not so far-fetched, you know, where we say, that type of information couldn't be used for nefarious purposes.
Yes, we're there, and there's a misconception of science again. And since we've been talking about bioethics falls under biology and science. Another presidential race, I think two cycles ago, one of the candidates, a birth control method came up that actually worked post conception, and he aligned himself with a Christian church. And when he was asked about it, he basically said, well, that's science, and it's acceptable because it's science. And in our society, if something is scientific, it tends to be immune or amoral. We think of it as amoral because it's a scientific discovery, therefore we should use it. And even Christian candidates for president in the past have got caught up in that. So, it's this problem of dualism where we separate our lives, our Christian lives, from our everyday lives sometimes, or even our medical lives or our social lives. And, at the Master's College, one of the things we talk about is everything. Every discipline comes under a biblical mandate and a biblical purview. We can't think about this method as being acceptable because it's science. We need to think about it in a biblical context. Is it going to violate life now or in the future?
Yeah, we're not going to be able to squelch the putting out of this information or the technology going forward. We're not going to be able to take that view and say, well, we're going to fight them moving forward with just the technology to be able to do this. We're going to have to do better than that. We're going to have to give them biblical guidelines as to how this should be thought about in an ethical way. It's interesting that end of that article that I highlighted there about the iPhone says this: some people have ideas. Imagine you could swipe your genes at a drugstore while filling a prescription, getting a warning if you were predicted to have a reaction to a drug, or perhaps an app that could calculate exactly how closely related you are to anyone else. But Lyon believes that that right now the story is mostly about helping researchers. They need people to donate their DNA. And he says one incentive is to have it on their iPhone where they can play with it. This is a whole new world here where your DNA will be that easily accessible. And we need to have biblical principles laid out and clear in our mind as to what can and cannot be done with that DNA according to the Word of God. Dr. Francis, thank you so much for talking us through this and helping us to think about this in a biblical way, and not just to, a knee-jerk reaction against the technology itself, But to really think about this and think biblically about it so that we can give good answers for this situation.
Yeah, and just a quick comment. The Bible gives us a framework to solve these problems, and sometimes we have to do more thinking and deeper thinking and deeper searching, but the pro-life sanctity of life view is there, and it's a beautiful starting point. And we want to say we want to preserve life and honor God's intention for every human life.
Amen.
That's made in His image.
Amen. Well said. I appreciate that so much. Thanks again for taking the time to talk with us today about this subject. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Dr. Joe Francis. He's the chairperson and professor of biological sciences at the Masters College. That's www.masters.edu. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.